Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The clever serpent told Adam and Eve that they did not need to be dependent upon God, because after all, they could be like God. They could be as God is, all-wise, almighty, all-knowing, faithful, good, merciful, gracious, and love, just like God is all of these. And as everyone knows, it's better to be independent than to have to be dependent upon someone. And God let them go. He gave them their independence. You want to move out of my house? Then out of my house you go. You want to be the captain of your own ship? Then sail on, sailor. You want to be self-sufficient? Then suffice for yourself. It didn't take very long for Adam and Eve to realize that the serpent had deceived them. He said they could be like God, and they believed the serpent. They trusted his word, and he deceived them, and they fell for it. A talking serpent. They should have known something was wrong about that. So much for being all wise. And so much for being almighty and all-knowing and faithful. And good, and merciful, and gracious, and love, like God is all of these. Independent of God, they were none of these things. They became what each of these divine attributes become when they're cut off from the divinity. All wise becomes foolishness. Almighty becomes weak and pathetic. All knowing becomes ignorant. Faithful becomes untrustworthy, good becomes bad, merciful becomes ruthless, and love. Well, that becomes selfishness and jealousy and lust and greed and privacy that blocks out the cries of the needy and a sick pleasure in seeing someone else fail. The serpent deceived them, and they were deceived, and so are we. They wanted their independence from God, and so do we. They could not be like God, and neither can we. They suffered the consequences of their disbelief, and so do we. And they could not fix what they had broken, and most broken was their relationship with God, and neither can we. They could not repair the damage that they did to God's good creation, and the one that he said was very good. Or root out the disappointment and despair and death that they injected into it, no matter how many programs and how many policies they instituted. And neither can we. They left the Father's house because they didn't like his insistence on ruling over every aspect of their life. But now they found themselves living under the rule of another master who also insists on controlling every aspect of their life, only this one does not love us. And we are sick of eating the food that pigs eat. And our belly is filled with the food of bitterness and resentment and sorrow and disappointment and suffering and death. And we long, yes, we long to return to the Father's house. We long to be reconciled to God, whom we have made our enemy. We long to return to the way it used to be, in the good old days, in the beginning, when we were dependent upon God and everything was very good. But what are we to do? We are lost. We are blind. We are fools and we are weak. And we are sheep who have gone astray, each to his own way, and the world is filled with darkness, and it's getting darker by the day. Our only hope, and I mean our only hope, is that God, who is all-wise, almighty, all-knowing, and merciful, and faithful, and good, and gracious, and love, our only hope is that he will come to us and forgive us all of our sins and reconcile us to himself and undo the damage that we have done and be the light that enlightens the darkness of our lives. and make all things new again. And this is just what he has promised to do. And in faith and trust in his word and promise, we join our voices to Adam and Eve's and to all those before us who have cried out, "Come, Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Redeemer, come and open wide my heart to thee. Here, Lord, abide. O enter with thy grace divine, thy face of mercy on me shine. O come, Emmanuel. O come, thou wisdom from on high. O come, thou Lord of might." Welcome to Advent. This is Advent. The word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means to come. This morning we sang three stanzas of an Advent hymn that the church has been singing at least since the 12th century A.D., O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Emmanuel, it's a Hebrew word made up of three parts. Im means with, Manu means us, and El is short for Elohim, the word for God. Literally, it's God with us. God with us in the darkness, in the disease, in the sorrow, in the pain. God with us in our sin and in our death. In his incredible prophecy, Isaiah declares, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." And for 7 centuries, those who believed and trusted in his word and promise, the word and promise that comes through the mouth of the prophet, prayed, O come, Emmanuel." Then, one day, in a little village called Nazareth, an angel appeared to a man named Joseph and said, "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And Matthew writes, "All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel.'" And then Matthew translates, just in case some of you don't know your Hebrew like you should, which means God with us. Jesus is God with us. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, God became flesh and dwelt among us. He is pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. He has come, just as he promised he would. And he has come to ransom captive Israel. Who is Israel anyway? Well, Israel is the people of God. And you are the people of God, which means that you are an Israelite. In fact, you are the true Israelites of God. And the people of God, the Israelites, they are in captivity. Isaiah was referring directly to Israel's captivity under the Babylonians. But even more directly, Isaiah was referring to the captivity of everyone under our sin. And we were all born in captivity, and we cannot set ourselves free from our captivity to sin, no matter how hard we try. For the good that we want to do, we do not do, but the evil that we hate, that we do. Why? Because we are captive to the law of sin that dwells in us. One of the great problems that we Israelites seem to have is that we are very good at adapting to our surroundings. We learn to adjust to the situation we're in, whatever it may be. We assimilate, and we learn to call our captivity normal. If you've ever had to move, you know just what I'm talking about here. When the movers take the furniture out of the house, what do you see? You see all the dirt and all the dust bunnies that you've been living with for so long, and you're shocked that here you've been living in this filth for so long, and frankly, it never bothered you. You never even noticed it. You were perfectly comfortable living in this filth. In fact, you called it home sweet home. Did you know that when Cyrus the Great told the Israelites who had been held in captivity in Babylon for 70 years that they were free to leave and go home, that only a very few of them actually did? The vast majority had gotten so comfortable in captivity that they called Babylon home, and they had no desire to leave it. And we are the same in our captivity to sin. So the striking thing, I mean, the really great thing about this antiphon that sets the theme for all the others that we will examine during this season of Advent, is that it expresses the fervent longing of the child of God who sees his captivity to sin and who hates it and deeply desires to be set free from it and return home to live as a captive of the gospel, a captive to the law of God, to be dependent upon God as a little child is dependent upon his parents and as a sheep is dependent on its shepherd. Here is the poignant plea, not of one who has adapted or adjusted to his captivity of sin to sin, but one who mourns in lonely exile here. O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. We have sold ourselves into captivity for a pot of stew, or acceptance by others, or some fleeting pleasure, or the hope of getting rich. And now we're broke. We're broke physically, mentally, emotionally, morally, spiritually. We're broke. And who will ransom us? Who will pay the price to set us free? Oh, come, Emmanuel, ransom captive Israel. And don't go getting all hung up here on who the ransom price is to be paid to. We talk like this all the time without referring to an economic transaction. Look, when Arthur breaks a swimming record and Tiana is recognized for an outstanding cross-country track season, it's because they paid the price. The price was hard work and training, long hours. We say that those who served in the military have paid the price for our freedom. We don't ask who they paid the price to. That would be silly. But a price had to be paid. Emmanuel, God with us, paid the price for our release from our captivity to sin, and the price that he paid was his life. His life, the ransom for our life. His captivity to the cross, the ransom for our freedom from sin. His exile from God the Father, the ransom for our return to the Father's house. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Isaiah prophesied, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And Jesus says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Welcome home, captives. Welcome home, you prisoners of sin and death. Emmanuel has set you free from your captivity, and he has made you a prisoner of hope. Did you know that when those who had been exiles in Babylon did return to Jerusalem with Ezra and Nehemiah, they quickly discovered that they were certainly not welcomed with opened arms? There was no homecoming parade that the town threw for them. In fact, the foreigners who now inhabited Jerusalem resented their return, and they did all that they could to make their life miserable. Life for the prisoners now set free was not easy. They had to defend their freedom and resist the temptation to adapt to the culture and assimilate to their surroundings and return to their captivity to sin. It's like that for us too. We are the people of God, the true Israelites, and Jesus has paid the ransom for our release from our captivity to sin. But our life in this world is not easy. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that we're becoming less and less welcome here. And what we're facing is more and more resistance all the time. We're surrounded by temptations to return to the captivity from which Christ has set us free. Emmanuel has ransomed captive Israel, but this is not our home, or if it is, it's surely a home away from home. Another hymn puts it like this: I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. And so even though God is with us, hidden under the water of holy baptism, with us, hidden under the bread and wine of holy communion, with us, hidden in the words of holy absolution, with us, hidden in the preaching of his word, and even though we have been set free from captivity to sin and death by his precious blood, we still have a deep longing for that day when he comes again, not hidden, but revealed fully in all of his glory. We still mourn in lonely exile until the Son of God appears. For we know from his word that when he comes again, on the clouds and with his angels, then that great paradigm shift, the great paradigm shift of all paradigm shifts, will take place. And the emphasis then will not be on the fact that God is with us, but it will be on the fact that we are with God and all things have been made new. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen.